All right, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. One thing you're going to discover about the Apostle Paul is that Paul was not a Baptist. No, I'm just going to say that. He was sold out to the Lord. And he didn't have time for any foolishness, any carrying on. He was committed to the Lord. And in the book of Philippians, he talks about joy and victory. We mentioned Sunday morning about victory over circumstances, because his one focus was to be used of God and to bring honor and glory to him. And so whatever happened, he saw the good in all of it and wanted to be used of God. We saw Sunday night that people, but our own self-importance makes us get offended and easily bothered by people, but Jesus, who was God, came from heaven to earth and humbled himself and became a servant. Tonight, we're going to look at our own goodness keeps us from experiencing God's best. There is in all of us a certain amount of self-righteousness. Now, not in the big legalistic sense where we are like the Pharisees, but I think in the human heart, there is a certain amount of self-righteousness, and it will probably be that way until we get to heaven. Because the flesh is very powerful and very sufficient within ourselves. And believe it or not, in this walk with God, your own goodness can trip you up, can keep you from having God work through you to accomplish things that you try to accomplish in your strength. And the Spirit of God can, he's the only one that can do anything. What you and I do in our own strength does not accomplish anything. So I want to look through this passage of Scripture and see what the Apostle Paul, beginning in chapter 3, verse 2. He says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." The first thing he tells us is beware of the false teachers who had a system of external righteousness and rules and regulations, and that's what made them righteous. Paul was one of those before he found Christ, to such an extent that he hated Christians and wanted to persecute them. He says, beware, because he says, we put no confidence in the flesh. And then it begins verse 4. To start out with, no trust in our strength, in our flesh, our effort. If you do, that's all you'll get. You won't see God work in human hearts around you. A parent, you can do it in your strength, but unless it's done in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, it won't have that great of an effect upon the children. Because what is done in our strength accomplishes nothing. So Paul begins in verse 4 and brags on himself. He first of all says in verse 4 about his heritage. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now we can't comprehend that because we're not Jews. But he said, as far as being a Jewish person, I was in the line. I was it. I had it all. And it's kind of like somebody said, well, I've been a Baptist all my life. Or whatever they've been. I've been a Baptist all my life. My grandparents Baptist and my parents Baptist. Now I'm Baptist and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And Paul said, listen, I had all the pedigree. I had everything. Then he says in the last part of verse 5, as touching the law, a Pharisee. But as far as doing the law and what the Pharisaical words did, I did all that. I had all that lined up. I was Mr. Righteous. I had it all set up. I was obedient to the law. And as far as the Pharisees was concerned, I washed my hands at the right time. I did it the right way. I did all the right rituals. I did everything. What Paul is trying to say, I did everything. And then he goes on in verse 6 and says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, he doesn't mean the law as far as he was perfect, but he means as far as what the Pharisees had determined. And he said, as far as being on fire for what I thought was God, no one can touch my zeal that I had. I was not one of those apathetic people, Paul says. I was not one of those, oh, I don't know, we got church again today. No, sir, I was zeal, and my zeal was shown because I persecuted the church. I thought the church and the Christians were not part of God. We're the ones that knew God as Pharisees. And he said, so I persecuted them. And when you read about the Apostle Paul and his persecution, he said he was breathing out threats. And it's a strong word, which means he was just full of violence and zeal and had many of them put to death. Went and got letters from the priest and said, let's go. I'm headed off somewhere. Going to put them all to death. I was Mr. Spiritual. I was Mr. Pharisee. I had it all. I was righteous. But then he said, I rejected all that. Notice verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For he whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Hear someone say, hey, I'm a good person. He's a good man. Well, ask Apostle Paul what he thought of it. He used, and I hate to say it, but the word he uses, dung, is a very powerful word referring to rubbish or human waste. And without being gross, that's what the Apostle Paul used the word. He said, all the righteousness that I appeared to have, I counted as if it was human waste. It is useless. It's rubbish. It's no good. Everything that I had. A Christian must be like the Apostle Paul. Whoever we are and whoever we think we are and however good we think we are doesn't get it. And Paul said, my commitment to the Lord was such that I just counted it all as rubbish. I threw it all away. Everything that I was, everything I am, all the goodness that I had, it's all, I counted it all as just rubbish so that I would be within Christ and know Christ. And then he says, the two sides of salvation. Verse 9. And he says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. First thing he says is, all my righteousness, all my goodness, everything that I had, I throw it all away as just a bunch of rubbish and no good. Because what I want to be found in is righteous through Jesus Christ. Because he says, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Tonight, because I'm saved and you're saved, my righteousness and all that I do and everything I say and all my goodness and all my good deeds do not earn me any favor as far as standing before God. And the Apostle Paul said, I glory in this salvation so much that I throw away all my self-righteousness and I want to be found pure and holy through the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Did you know that it is easy to live a good life, even as a Christian, and not be really what God wanted you to be? Because it's a righteousness of human effort and a righteousness that does not continually before God realize. And Paul said, my life was to only be found in him righteous. That is all I ever wanted. I counted all of that. I remember used to think about revivals in the olden days, and one of the things that people would do, we'd get all fired up, and it lasts about 2 weeks. And one of the reasons it was is because they got so fired up, and it's kind of like everybody said, "All right, man, let's get going. Boy, we got to go. We got to get going." Problem with that, the flesh will only take you so far. It's kind of like pushing a car, and you say, "Well, man, we got to push this car harder than we've ever pushed it. Let's push." Well, the easiest way is to get inside, turn the key, and let the engine take care of the power of the engine, move you down the road. And a lot of Christians are not like the Apostle Paul. They retain, we all do, retain a certain amount of our goodness. And it's easy. All you got to do is turn on the news and go, "I'm a lot better than that. Man, look at the way people are living. I'm doing pretty good." Now, we may not say that, but it's easy to think it in our hearts. That's why it's important to be diligent in reading the Scripture so that the Holy Spirit will convict you and keep you close to God. And the closer you are to God, the more you realize how inadequate and how unrighteous you are within yourself. And you're clinging to only one thing, the righteousness which is in Jesus Christ. Then he said the other side. He said in verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death." Because he gave up all of his righteousness, he said, "Only thing I want to be found in is righteous through Jesus Christ." But the other thing is the sanctification, the maturity, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Someone out here that died, and someone came through town, and as they had the funeral, someone came and touched them, and all of a sudden they rose from the dead. Everybody go, "Wow, man, that is some kind of power to do something like that." Well, he says the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, which is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, he says, "I want to know that in my life. I want to know that power." Now, I once again reiterate, knowing the power of the Holy Spirit does not mean shouting and carrying on and hallelujahs. That can be just as carnal as not doing the hallelujahs. But that don't mean it's not hallelujah. He said, "You know what? Everything that I am, I'm a good Baptist. I've been a good person all my life. I threw all that away. And the only thing I want to know is I'm righteous in Christ, and I want to know him. And I want to know the power that lives within me, that enables me." Notice what he says, being made conformable unto his death. I want to be conformed and shaped and molded to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know him. The seminary I went to, that was their theme. It was all in the front of the school. It was on everything they mailed out. Their theme was that I may know him and make him known. That was the theme of the whole school for years and years and years. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Let me tell you something. It's easy to be good. But it's different to have the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms your heart and attitude and influences others. You see, I can brush my teeth without God's help. I can get ready without God's help. I preached enough that, you know, I can preach without God's help. Sometimes I think I do. But I find out that unless I am yielded and dependent, then the truth doesn't have an effect. Paul says, I threw it all away. I threw all of my goodness. I was raised in the right home. I've got position. Good Baptist. My daddy was a Baptist preacher. My uncle was a Baptist preacher. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher. I mean, I come from a long line of Baptist preachers. I remember when some of them found out where I grew up, some of the people that didn't go to church and said they heard Tim was going to be a preacher. And I remember hearing through the grapevine, they said, well, I don't blame it, because he was always a good little boy. Little did they know, I wasn't a bad fellow, but in my heart, I found sin. In my heart, I found attitudes that are wrong. And Paul says, I give up all of my righteousness and my goodness and who I am, and I throw myself on the altar of the Lord, and I ask, Lord, would your power live in and through me? Would you produce love that is beyond my human energy to love my enemies? Would you produce joy? Would you produce peace in me that is beyond my human ability to do? Would you produce patience and kindness that is beyond my human ability to do? And if you think it's you doing it, then it ceases to be you doing it. Because if the Lord is working, you won't know it. You won't know it, because you've become so dependent upon Him and His power and His ability and His strength. When my kids were growing up, I had to do some praying. Lord, were they bad kids? No. But I had to do some praying. Oh, God, you've got to do this. You have got to do this. You got to work. It has to be you. And you know what I find as I study this? I find ever so often as I go through this Christian life, the Lord will show and say, see that circle right there? Yeah. You're trusting in you, aren't you? You're trusting in your intellect, or you're trusting in your ability, or you're trusting in this. You're not trusting in me. One thing about Paul, he challenges me. He lifts me up. And when I read this and hear Apostle Paul said, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. If you say, oh, I know so-and-so's a good person, then you're missing the point, because being a Christian has nothing with looking at goodness. Being a Christian is realizing that I do not have anything that will earn merit with God. And the only thing I rely upon at my last breath is I trusted in Christ, and He is my Savior, and I'm righteous only through Him and His death on the cross. And if I'm going to live this Christian life, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I want to know that power that would live in me. And I'm not talking about you feel it, you know. Ooh. I'm just talking about on your knees, dependent, and pray. You know, my favorite professor was Dr. Harold Burchett. When you ask his children about him, and they said, what do you remember about him? I said, well, remember we'd be in a hotel somewhere, and I'd wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd look over there at my daddy, and he'd be on his knees praying for us, praying for this. And I hadn't thought of that. Did some of mine in private. But I hadn't thought of that. So that's what I remember. He was always dependent on God. I think of the stories of Billy Graham and how dependent on God he had to be. You can go to work tomorrow, and you can say hey to everybody, and you can be a good person. But you may not have any influence if you don't rely and depend on the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I don't want anybody to see me. I'll be me and I'll be all that I am, but I want them to see Christ living within me. And you may never know. You may never know, because if you know it and you go, ooh, I got Christ living in me, you just lost it. When you're the most dependent upon Him, you realize how far short you fall and go, oh, Lord, it'll have to be you. You can go to work tomorrow. You can go to your home. You can talk to your children. You can talk to your grandchildren. And you can be a good person. You'd really be a good person. But there's a difference between being a good person and being someone who is so dependent on the Holy Spirit that the life of Christ will live through you in ways you're not even aware. Because you're like the Apostle Paul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the Apostle Paul said, in the fellowship of his sufferings. I mean, this man was something else. He'd throw me in prison. Who cares? I'm serving the Lord. I'm gung-ho about this thing. I want to serve the Lord. One of the things I remember most of all, you might not have liked Jerry Falwell. He sometimes would be too political. But one thing about Jerry Falwell that you would, if you ever noticed him, he didn't mind persecution. He'd go right in the lion's den. He didn't care. He'd be on those TV shows with all those pagans who hated God. Boy, the more they hated him, the more he loved it. Boy, he just like, I'm for Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we may not be like that, but in our simple world, I want to know the power. But you know what? You don't need God's power to come to church. You can come on your own. Well, you're not preaching on Sunday, so you won't have to pray much. You just show up. You won't have to depend on the Lord very much when you come here. You can sit here. Because you're not preaching. Now, if I asked you to preach on Sunday, I bet some of you would pray more on that Sunday, wouldn't you? You'd probably be praying on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then call me Sunday morning, I can't be there. Because it'd be something that beyond you. But here's the problem. We can do a lot of things that are within our strength. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know him. And I want to know the power of the Holy Spirit. And that requires prayer. It requires dependence. It requires confession of sin. It requires a real desire to only have him live through us. Remember Dr. Burchett said one time, all the church growth people wanted to come to his church and find out what all they were doing. I remember him saying, he said, they ain't going to find nothing. All they're going to find is just normal people who love the Lord and who have a zeal for him and the Lord is working their life. That's all they're going to find. They think there's some grand scheme. No, it's just the Lord working in each one. It's the Lord working in each one, and it's easy. It's easy just kind of go through life and, you know, I'm doing good. Don't bother me. I'm doing good. I know I'm better than that fella down the street. Man, is he sorry. He is sorry. I'm better than my neighbor. Yeah, you might be. But I don't know if you know the power that will influence that grandchild or influence that child or influence that neighbor or influence that friend, because you and I have not depended on the power that only he can produce. I say this because I know. I've been at this for 25 years. I didn't do it. But that's different than depending on the Holy Spirit. We had another professor, Mr. Hatch. I don't have to tell you about Mr. Hatch. Mr. Hatch walked around always frowning. If you saw Mr. Hatch, you thought, that is the unhappiest man in the world. Always frowning. Always looking tough. But, buddy, when you went to his classes, he taught the same class, the same way, for 35 years. When you went to his class, it's like, wow, this is something else. Found out later on that he taught the same material for 35 years. Why change it? I mean, that's what he taught. Now, he'd add to it, but he taught the same material. But you know what they found out he would do? He would go into his office. He was vice president of school, and he'd pray for an hour before he would teach each class. And when he would come in, it's like it was the same material, but it was like, wow, Mr. Hatch. One guy said, I can't even hardly take note because it's just so grand. I want to encourage you. Throw away the self-righteousness. We're always going to have it. It'll always be there. But you won't know what God can do in your life, your neighbor's life, your friend's life, your children's life, your grandchildren's life, people you know. You won't know because you're not depending on Him to live through you. Let's pray. Father, encourage us tonight to be like the Apostle Paul, that we throw away all that is righteous within us, and we only want to be found righteous through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we throw away all the righteousness that is within us, and we only want to know Him and the power that comes by the Holy Spirit living in us. And Lord, if we do, we won't know it. Because if we know it, we probably lost it. But Lord, if we do depend, we will realize how much we need You. And help us, Lord, to throw away all of our righteousness and trust in You daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.